Listen to the infallible word of God as it is found in Malachi, the second chapter, beginning at verse 17. You'll follow along pretty carefully in Malachi, so you may want to keep your Bibles open. Malachi 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you ask, how have we wearied him? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I move down to the 13th verse. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we will call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. The Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. There'll be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. May God bless us in this reading of his holy word. Verse 17 of the 17th chapter is parallel with verse 13 of the 3rd chapter. Now, if you look at Malachi carefully, there are six times in this prophecy that God comes and he says certain things, and then the people say, but when was this and when was that? There's a dialogue. That gives you the outline of the entire book. It starts off in the second verse. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask. Verse 6. A son honors his father, but you ask. How have we despised your name? Verse 13. And then God speaks. And then in 14. But you ask. Why? And now in 17. And in chapter 3, verse 13. This is the framework of Malachi, and the problem that is raised here is, why is it that communistic Russia expands and grows and conquers and fights, and they use the term liberation, but by liberation they mean bring into captivity, destroy, hate. Why is it that an evil, good-for-nothing, rotten country like communistic China and Russia succeed and expand, and the communists in Southeast Asia, Vietnam expand, prosper, but Taiwan suffers? The United States draws in its horns. We have democracy. Why is it that the secularist in the United States who doesn't love God or doesn't go to church prospers? You have wearied the Lord of your words. How we worried him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he's pleased with them. Or you ask, where is the God of justice? Verse 13 of the third chapter. Same question. Yet you ask, or just before that, you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. But you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it's futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements, going to church, being good, keeping the Ten Commandments, going about like mourners in repentance and sorrow before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant, those who are secularists, those who don't care about God, the arrogant in heart, we call them blessed, happy. Certainly, the evildoers prosper. And even those who challenge God, who tempt God, those are the ones who escape. That refrain comes again and again in Scripture. Just to take one other passage, Psalm 73, in the third verse, I envy the arrogant. And they say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? That's what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued, I've been punished every morning. And yet the wicked are like this. They're always carefree. They increase in wealth. And so God says in 17, you have wearied, or Malachi the prophet says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. You don't believe. You don't trust. You don't realize that God is holy, that there is such a thing as righteousness, that there is a God of justice. The communistic China is going to be, the leaders are going to be severely punished, that there is going to come a day of judgment. So that's what he goes on to say. But that's the setting for these last two chapters, these two thoughts. Where is the God of justice? Verse 17, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord. You weary me, says God, with your questionings and doubting. And now comes the answer. The answer is that the day of the Lord is coming. Christmas is coming. The second coming is coming. That's the answer to where is the God of justice. And that's what he develops here. And always in the Old Testament, these two comings are mingled and crushed together and are inseparable. The day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? Well, the day of the Lord, you can go back to all of history, is the day of the Lord. The judgment of God in Joel, the plague of locusts, the punishments, the catastrophes, these are all the day of the Lord. God is exercising judgment all the time. He is visiting the people for their iniquities and for their sins. But we think of the day of the Lord particularly in two senses, and that is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ at his first coming, and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming. And there are three facets here. First of all, the preparation for the day of the Lord. Then we can come, secondly, to that first coming, and secondly, and thirdly, to the second coming. And in this, you'll see the answer to 2:17 and 3:13, where they question the justice of God. First of all, in this passage, look at the preparation, the preparer, the forerunner of the day of the Lord. You find that in verse 1 of chapter 3. See, look, I will send my messenger. That word messenger, that's the name Malachi. Don't know exactly what the significance is here, but Malachi is the prophet who is speaking here that you find in first the verse and of the first chapter in Oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Now, Malachi is not this messenger. See, I will send my Malachi, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Now, make sure that you make a distinction here. You see these two messengers, they're different. They aren't the same. You got to understand that in order to know the meaning of this passage. That first one, see, I will send my messenger. That refers to John the Baptist. We'll come to that in a second. That second messenger is different. That second messenger, the messenger of the covenant, refers to Jesus Christ. So don't confuse them. We're talking about the first messenger. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you're seeking will come to his temple. Now, in short summation, this refers to the fact that God is going to send his Malachi, his messenger. He's going to send John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is the forerunner. He's the one who is preparing the way for Jesus Christ. And that you find over in the Gospel of Mark and in the first chapter, that second verse, it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Now, Mark doesn't quote Isaiah first of all. He quotes Malachi. It is written in Isaiah the prophet. Now comes the quote, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. And in the New International Version, we have that in quotes and the reference to Malachi 3:1. So, Mark ties in two prophecies. One is Malachi and the other is Isaiah. And then he goes on to say, he quotes Malachi, I'll send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Then he quotes Isaiah chapter 40. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Now comes Mark talking, and he says, and so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So the forerunner, the preparer, as is found in Malachi and also found in Isaiah in the 40th chapter, that preparer is none other than John the Baptist. Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley should be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low, and the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Mark tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Isaiah 40, Malachi 3, refer to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is going to come, and he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. And how does he prepare it? He prepares it by preaching repentance, telling people that there's only one way to be saved. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, said John the Baptist. Repent, believe on the one who is to come. I am not the Messiah, but there's one who's going to come after me. I am not worthy to bend down and loosen his sandal straps. Prepare your hearts. This is how you make straight the way. This is how you make things leveled and raise up the valleys and lower the hills. By repenting of sins, by preparing hearts, by turning to Jesus Christ in Luke. Well, I'm going to hold off on that one just a second because I want to come to that in a moment. So Malachi says in the third chapter, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then if you turn over to the fourth chapter and the fifth verse, the very end now of the Old Testament, the very end of Malachi, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. Now this is referring to the same thing as chapter 3, verse 1. The messenger is Elijah. And you know that from Luke the first chapter and the 17th verse, where Luke is saying, not Luke, but Luke is quoting the angel as saying in Luke 1:17, speaking about Zechariah, he's saying that he, John the Baptist, speaking of John the Baptist, he, verse 17, will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now that is a direct pickup of Malachi 4:5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah. And so he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, it all ties in together. Elijah didn't fear anybody. Elijah would speak very forthrightly, and he would go to Ahab and he would say, "Now, Ahab, you are the troubler of Israel. You are the one that's causing this trouble to come on Israel." John the Baptist, he would go to Herod and he would say, "Now Herod, you are the one who has sinned against God and married your brother's wife." And then John the Baptist got his head cut off. So John the Baptist is going to come in the spirit and power, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of not being afraid, with the power of speaking forthrightly, of simply proclaiming what God wants him to proclaim, just the way Elijah did. And then in Luke, the first chapter also, and the 76th verse, you get Zechariah's song, picking up the John the Baptist, the baby, and he says in 76, "And you, my child, will be a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven." So in Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 and in 3:1, we have here a reference for the forerunner. And these things apply to us now. John the Baptist in the power and spirit of Elijah, that same message comes to the people before the first coming of Jesus Christ. Repent. Don't do what you want to do. Don't put yourself first. Put Jesus Christ and God first. Repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. And that same message, of course, is carried right down today. And this is what we have to do now, as we rethink Christmas, as we prepare for Christmas. We got to get the message of Isaiah 40, one who was crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And so we've got to prepare our hearts and repent of our sins. So the message here of chapter 3 and 4 is, the people are saying, "God, where is the God of justice? What kind of a God is there? What good is it to believe in Jesus Christ? It doesn't do you any good, because if you believe, you don't. The government takes your money away unjustly for your Christian schools, and it gives it to those who don't love God, and so we have to pay for them. What kind of a God is this who allows year after year this unjust, inequitable system of taxation here in this community, whereby we have to support godless, Christless, atheistic secularism in the government schools? We can't even have our own tax money for ourselves. What kind of a God is that? Where is the God of justice?" And so God says, "Now don't take it easy. Don't get excited. I recognize this injustice. That's wrong. But I'm going to send somebody." So that's the first thing. The forerunner, John the Baptist, has come. And he's preaching the day of the Lord. Now come the day of the Lord and the equity that's going to be developed. So there are two things here. The day of the Lord in the first coming. The day of the Lord in the second coming. Now see the day of the Lord in the first coming. Verse 1, chapter 3. "See, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, who will prepare the way before me." Now comes the second coming, the first coming. Then suddenly, even though John the Baptist has been preaching about this, even though the prophecies have been going on, when the first coming or the second coming comes,
It's always going to be unexpected. It's always going to be a surprise. Then suddenly, the Lord you were seeking. You've been asking for the Lord. All right, he's going to come. He's going to come to his temple, to the New Testament church, to his people. And the messenger of the covenant, that's the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. This word messenger, this word Malachi, can be translated three different ways. Malachi means messenger. Malachi means Malachi, the proper name. It means messenger. And thirdly, it can mean angel. We talk all in the Old Testament about the angel of the Lord. That's the Malachi of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. That is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is the second person of the Godhead. That is a pre-incarnational form of Jesus Christ. And so here, that same reference, the messenger of the covenant, the angel of the covenant. Jesus is the messenger of the covenant because he comes and he communicates. God has established a covenant. God has established a relationship between himself and the world.